Welcome to Outdoors Radio, brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource on the web at lake-link.com. I'm Dan Small. I'm here in the studio with Mr. Hardwater Jeff Kelm, and we've all been anxiously awaiting the final report by Deer Trustee Dr. James Kroll with his team's recommendations for improving, or changing anyway, Wisconsin's deer management program. And we'll have a first look at that document and a conversation with him in just a bit. Speaking of deer, our giveaway this week is a DVD by Pat Reeve and Nicole Jones of Driven TV, and it's called Whitetail Driven, Volume 3. We'll tell you how to get in on the drawing a little later in the show. And an extended version of Outdoors Radio is archived and available 24/7 at lake-link.com/DSO Radio. It's time now for the Madison Outdoors Report, brought to you by Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. For help with summer roof problems, visit greatlakesroofing.net. And joining us once again on the redpawdogfood.com hotline is McFarland guide Ron Bearfield. Ron, thanks for joining us.
Thank you, Dan.
Well, how's the fishing been?
Well, it's not been too bad. It's, I've been fishing the Madison chain lately quite a bit, as well as the river. The river is very low. I mean, it's lower than I've seen it in a couple of years.
Yeah.
But the Madison chain, and it's there again, it's very low. They've got the water drawn down real low, and plus the no rain, you know, hasn't helped at all. So, it's kind of very low when you come out of some of the landings like that Babcock landing on Wabisa. You know, you got to be careful with your lower units and just trim up good and high, and you'll be okay. But
Now you were on Wabisa just recently. How was that?
It's been very good. We're catching a surprising amount of walleyes between 12 inches and 18 inches.
Wow.
A lot of fish.
Oh.
And I'm not sure where these small fish have come from. They've got to be reproducing in the lake a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It just seems like all of a sudden they're starting to show up, and we're catching. Well, for instance, yesterday we had one that was about 26 inches.
Wow.
And today we had one that was probably, I'd say the biggest one today was probably 23, 24 inches.
Uh-huh. Well, now, years ago, 5 or 6 years ago at least, I did an Outdoor Wisconsin TV show at the Babcock Landing with the DNR fisheries crew, and they were processing walleyes. They, in the spring, you know, when they use the fike nets and they capture them and they take their the spawn and everything.
Right. They used to have a contraption set up down there just below the locks. It's a small canoe launch site, and they used to call it the walleye wagon.
In other words,
that's where they would do the stripping of the eggs and everything.
Yeah. So my point is, I know there's walleyes in there, and I guess there's all age classes. So what do you hear about the rest of the chain?
Well, the rest of the chain is still pretty good. The perch are going crazy on Mendota right now. But, you know, you hear these guys talk about 8-inch perch, and I've been out there, and I've been at the landings, and they are catching a lot of perch. But the majority of the fish are between 7 and 7.5 inches. You know, you've got to catch a lot of fish and sort through them to get 9-inch perch, you know,
mm-hmm.
bunches of 9-inch perch.
Mm-hmm.
But they are catching large numbers of these fish, you know, so hopefully the guys will use their head and think about this. The future of this lake is going to be just better and better and better if they don't take all those 7, 7.5-inch perch. Like, you know, that's what happened a few years ago through the ice. But have fun with it and just be selective as to what you take. You can get enough 8-inch to 9-inch perch if you stick it out.
Yeah. Say, Jeff wanted me to ask you about Lake Wisconsin. He's planning to do a little fishing up there soon. Any advice?
Well, it's actually I've been doing a little bit of drifting out in the stump fields. I did some trolling and with flicker shads and things like that, shad wraps. Also, number five has been the best. We've been picking a few fish up like that, but I've actually been doing better drifting with a jig head and a half a night crawler on that jig head. And when you get the right drift, for instance, I had one day where I had 53 walleyes, and not all naturally were keepers, but they had 11 fish that were between 15 and 20, and I think we had 4 or 5 that were slot fish that you can't keep, 20 to 28 inches, and then the rest were, of course, undersized. But
Jeff has never seen 50 walleye, so.
This was an exceptional day. I mean, we don't go up there and catch 50 walleye every day, but usually I'd have to say I usually average between 15 and 30, somewhere in that neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
You know, up on that area. And not there again, not all of them are keeper fish. That's counting every walleye.
Sure,
that's not,
sure.
You know, you get a lot of drum, you get a lot of sheephead with them, and I'll tell you something, those sheephead are not bad eating if you keep them in that two-pound range.
I like them. You fillet them, and I take that mud line off, you know, and I have actually cooked them, and I have had other people do this too, cook them side by side with walleye, say bread them and fry them, and people can't tell the difference.
They can't. You cannot. I mean, if you cut if the fillets, if you leave the fillets whole, yeah, you're going to be able to get, okay,
the
that's
size,
a walleye fillet, that's
right.
a sheephead fillet. But if you cut them into chunks where nobody knows what's what and fry them all together, they will not tell you which fish is which.
Uh-huh.
And,
yep.
And there's a lot of guys that are, oh, I'll know. Well, I'll tell you, I've done it too many times with fish fries and shore lunches where I've sheephead, they thought they were eating their walleye that they had caught.
Yeah.
So, anyhow.
So you're saying you serve them sheep's head and put their walleye fillets in your cooler. Is that what you did?
No, we saved them for them. We just didn't take their walleyes out of the live well and clean them. I just cleaned sheep head and white bass.
All right. Well, Ron, we gotta move on. So thanks so much, and we'll be in touch soon.
Well, you're very welcome, Dan. Thank you.
You bet. Ron Bearfield, and this was the Madison Outdoors Report brought to you by Great Lakes Roofing. More Outdoors Radio straight ahead. Be prepared this summer and partner with the best, Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Hot temperatures combined with the sun's UV rays can damage your roof. Cracks that form during dry weather may not be discovered until a heavy rain, and at that point it's already an emergency. Great Lakes Roofing's 24/7 emergency repair crews offer the help you need when a summer meltdown happens to your roof. Or contact them today to schedule a free roof consultation to prevent severe and costly damage. For more information, visit GreatLakesRoofing.net. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation, your roofing solutions experts. Our phone line is standing by to take your call 24/7, 365. You can call us at 414-297-7554 to enter our weekly giveaway, suggest a guest, or just leave us a message. You can also email us anytime at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Well, Jeff, last week you were talking about having a lot of work to do up on the farm and some deer plots. How did that go?
Well, I ended up, the farm ended up having to get pushed back, actually, to the weekend of the camel races.
Ah, okay.
So, but I'll talk to you about that in
just a second. Yeah, all right, then. Sounds good, I think.
What I did get a chance to do is I got some food plots, actually, that I want to establish in Sheboygan County.
Oh, okay.
I've got a small property in Cedar Grove. And
sure.
I had to get down there. I haven't been down there now for a couple of months.
Mm-hmm.
Weeds are quite tall. In fact, they're about 6 feet tall. They're like these reeds, you know, grasses type of deal. Went down there with a weed whacker, thinking I could kind of take care of it with that. And it was a matter of the string would cut the weed would fall, and as the weed fell, I get wrapped in the head and kill the motor. So
one of these little, just a hand
gas
power
thing?
Yeah, oh, my gosh. Yeah.
And I'm trying to clear like a 40-foot by 40-foot area.
Right.
And fortunately, I brought my lawnmower, mm-hmm. my regular lawnmower down with me. I set the wheels as high as I could, and it still took like 2.5 hours to clear that and really chop it up nice and fine. And I'll go back in a couple weeks and spray anything that grows up again, and then I'll till first or second week of August and get the plots planted.
And then put the plot in,
It was a lot of work. I did it real early in the morning because I just didn't want to deal with any more of the heat. It was just as some of that heat was ending for us. And I didn't want to. That was too much. I work, 40 hours a week in that heat. I didn't need to do it again on the weekend.
You don't need to do it when you're on your time. Yeah. Well, I tell you what, a tool that I have would have been just what you needed there. I have something called a whipper, and it looks like a big lawnmower,
mm-hmm.
and it's raised a little higher off the ground, and it's what it is kind of a mini brush hog in a
like
self-flail
type of mower?
Well, it's just got a regular mower blade, but boy, I drove over and mowed 6 foot tall parsnip, wild parsnip, and burdocks and all kinds of stuff just a couple weeks ago. And I'll tell you what, after that, I said, this is my favorite power tool already, because otherwise, how do you deal with that stuff?
Right.
When you're in tight quarters and you can't run a brush off.
Yeah, if anybody would have seen me, they would have just laughed, because I'm disappearing into the brush with a little lawnmower. And
Well, people would have laughed at me this week, too, because we planted a bunch of trees and, no rain.
Yeah.
And I watered, I can't tell you how many trees, hazel and walnut and a few other things.
Yeah.
and just crossing my fingers that it's supposed to have an inch of rain once a week,
yeah.
or an inch of water. And, you know, I gave them many gallons of water, and they just drank it right down. And that is some hot weather.
That was ridiculous. And up north, they're getting all that rain.
Yeah.
I mean,
now what is
and
with
cool
this?
Weather. I mean, cold, almost, I guess you could call it.
Well, you know, I had a conversation with a guy from Babe Winkleman Productions over in Brainerd, Minnesota last week. And I said, well, how's the weather? Because we had 100 degrees. He said, he was complaining. He said, it's 62 and it's still raining from last night. And I said, you can send that our way.
No kidding.
Anytime.
Yeah, a lot of central Wisconsin folks really begging for rain right now.
Yeah, absolutely.
Speaking
now,
of central Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Richland Center.
Yes, you mentioned
July 21st.
Camel races.
There are camel races going on,
yeah.
Churning dirt. And I have managed to work out a deal with the family that I can be at the farm until that afternoon where I will be racing you
in a
camel race.
All right, so you're going to do it.
I'm going to do it.
All right.
I'm going to do it. I was watching it online. I got to be honest, I'm a little scared.
Yeah?
I mean, these things, like, they're like 9 feet tall. You're sitting up
there.
Well,
is this a one-hump or a two-hump camel?
See, I don't know.
We don't know.
We don't know. The one-hump camels, I guess, their attitude is really bad. Like, they're just kind of nasty.
Ooh.
And that's what they use for racing over on the other side of the world.
Okay.
But I watched the two-hump camel races, and they kind of have, like, a contraption that you sit in. It's kind of like, it's not a roll cage, but it's kind of a cage
that's
that keeps
you in
place. That's
what I need, is a roll bar.
Oh, yeah. No, we need something here.
Yeah.
I'm hoping we're not just sitting on a rug and holding on for dear life. So we'll see. But I watched some ostrich chariot races,
too. Oh, that
too.
Sounds like fun.
They put this little chariot behind the ostrich and let them go, and That I could do. That would be fun.
Maybe Jason Schultz will do that next year. I mean,
yeah.
Maybe 1 year of camel races will be enough. Well, all right, you heard it, folks. Jeff and I will be at the Churnin' Dirt in Richland Center next Saturday, the 21st of July, for the first ever and hopefully first annual Richland County camel races. They start at 4:00, and there are heats, and I guess if we're in the same heat, one of us gets eliminated, and you know, the winner goes on to the final heat at 6:00.
Yeah,
so.
Yeah.
You better practice your camel.
How do you?
I don't know. I mean,
I actually asked people at church to pray for me.
Good. Well, all right, and folks, pray for me too, because you know, Jeff's got he's got me by age here, so I need all the help I can get, and you know, if it looks too rough, I'm going to say, man, you do it. I'm just going to watch. Anyway, well, we have a giveaway, a DVD called Whitetail Driven Volume 3 with Pat Reeve and Nicole Jones. To enter the drawing, give us a call at 414-297-7554 or email us at outdoorsradio@gmx.com. Leave your name and number and mention the Whitetail Driven giveaway.
Now, you mentioned before, we are all looking forward to talking to Dr. Kroll. He has spent a lot of time in this state, a lot of time talking with everybody, and we're going to get a chance to actually hear a lot of his report, or at least the way it's broken down. They kind of sent us an executive report, kind of just all the meat and potatoes of it, so we're going to talk to him about that. And then we're also going to talk to Dumper Dan out of the Port of Sheboygan. They are still catching fish.
They are.
And they were catching fish even in that heat last week.
They were, so. And I tried to catch all of them, but, you know, there's still some out there. So
we're going to talk to him in just a few minutes. More Outdoors Radio coming up next.
Hey, boaters, anglers, and commercial fishermen, don't get tangled up. This is Chief Conservation Warden Randy Stark. There's plenty of water out there. Let's all share it safely. Underwater trap nets in Lake Michigan and Lake Superior catch whitefish, but let sport fish go. Downrigger cables, fishing lines, and propellers can get snagged in them. So watch for the flags and buoys that mark the nets. Don't twirl between the markers. Give them a wide berth. If you do get tangled in a trap net, cut any lines and cables immediately. Keep the bow of your boat heading into the waves and shut off your engine. Don't get in the water to try to free them. Nets may not always be in the same place. They can be moved to follow the fish. So keep an eye out for the flags and buoys that mark them. To learn more about trap nets, go to the DNR website and search trap nets. Don't get tangled up. There's plenty of water out there. Let's all share it safely.
Brought to you by the Wisconsin DNR and your local conservation warden.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit milfordhills.com.
When you visit Sheboygan, stay right on Lake Michigan at the newly remodeled Blue Harbor Resort and Spa. From Blue Harbor, you can stroll the Riverwalk to charter boats, the lighthouse, or riverside shops. Blue Harbor's three restaurants offer dining options from casual snacks to elegant dinners, and the whole family will enjoy Breaker Bay Water Park. Blue Harbor is perfect for family vacations or a guys fishing weekend. Visit blueharborresort.com or call toll-free 866-701-BLUE. Blue Harbor Resort. The place to stay in Sheboygan.
Be prepared this summer and partner with the best, Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Hot temperatures combined with the sun's UV rays can damage your roof. Cracks that form during dry weather may not be discovered until a heavy rain, and at that point it's already an emergency. Great Lakes Roofing's 24/7 emergency repair crews offer the help you need when a summer meltdown happens to your roof. Or contact them today to schedule a free roof consultation to prevent severe and costly damage. For more information, visit GreatLakesRoofing.net. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation, your roofing solutions experts.
Hey boaters, this is Al from Cedar Lake Sales. Summer's just starting, so now's the time for you to enjoy a new Crestliner boat. We've got new Crestliner Fishhawks and Superhawks in stock. Couple those with a new Mercury outboard, and you're set to have some serious fun now. We've got great inventory of Crestliner fishing boats. The one you're looking for, all powered by a quiet, powerful Mercury outboard. The fish will be begging to jump in. Ha ha! For the best values on the water, visit Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 in West Bend, or fish the net at CedarLakeSales.com.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. It is time for the Sheboygan Area Lake Michigan Fishing Report, brought to you by Dumper Dan Sport Fishing Charters of Sheboygan, on the web at DumperDan.com, and Sheboygan Tourism on the web at VisitSheboygan.com. And joining us on the Red Paw DogFood.com hotline is Captain Dan Welsh, owner of Dumper Dan's six-boat charter fleet out of the Port of Sheboygan. And Dan, I'll tell you what, I know, because I live close enough to the lake, that last week's heat wasn't much of a relief even for you guys out on the lake, and I know it changed the fish patterns a little bit. So how is the fishing, and how are you catching fish yet?
Well, Jeff, surprisingly, even with the warm, 90 to 100 degree days we had on shore and also out on the lake, the water temperatures are slowly climbing, but we do have a good thermal climb out there, so the fish are down a little deeper than what they have been in the past, but we still got cold water underneath. So even with the warm weather, fishing's been fantastic. All of my boats have been double-digit catches pretty much every trip, which means over 10 fish or better per trip, and it's been great. It's really been good, and we got some cold water down below. We got some warm surface water, but as long as we can get our baits where the fish are, we're fine.
And, of course, you've got six boats going out at just about any given time throughout the day, and you guys are certainly known for finding fish. I mean, you watch... You can watch your boats go out and everybody pull up their lines and start following you. It's kind of actually an interesting phenomenon that happens. But you guys haven't been going out terribly far, but certainly a little further than you normally do or have been lately, huh?
Yeah, we've been going out just a tad bit farther than we have been, a few weeks ago. And you're definitely right, Jeff. I mean, with six boats out there, I mean, we can definitely split up, find the fish, and then gang up on them again. And that really helps with a six-boat fleet. And being out there 7 days a week helps as well, but right now we're fishing a little bit deeper than we have been. Fish are coming 90 to about 120 feet of water, which off Sheboygan again is only about two and a half miles. Now in that 90 to 120 foot range, we're fishing the bottom half of the water column for the larger kings. They're out there. We're catching some big stuff and some nice fish down deep on our deeper setups and them depths. So I would concentrate on definitely fishing, 60 foot down to the bottom or better, and getting stuff down deep for these kings. We are still picking up a few rainbows and colos, surprisingly, 20 to 40 feet down on planer board setups and dipsies. So there's a few of them fish around yet, but as the month goes on, I think we're going to be more into kings and less in the rainbows, I would think.
Now, as you get into late July and into August, you do get some larger four-year-old kings that come in. They really put the feed bag on before they start making their fall runs up the rivers. But what are you looking for as far as water temperatures, and what are you looking for as far as weather? I mean, generally there's a certain weather pattern you guys are hoping for cold water near the shoreline, isn't there?
Right, exactly. And we had a lot of south winds the month of June, and that kept all our cold water close to Sheboygan area, pushing from south to north, and that's normal. We get west winds or south winds that keeps the water temperatures colder, and we had a lot of south winds in June, which really helped fishing. Now we just got blasted with a northeaster, our first one of almost the season now. Last time we had a good northeast blow was in April, and that did warm the water up a little bit, so that's what pushed these fish out a little bit. So you got to kind of watch. I mean, if we get south or west winds, the fish will come in closer, maybe even as close as the harbor. But then when we get north winds, then we got to head out a little bit farther.
Now, I was out with you a week or so ago. In fact, Jeff and I talked about this on last week's show when you weren't on. I was out with a group, the Fish Brothers, and they were appropriately named because, boy, we got into some very nice four-year-olds. But this was an afternoon trip, and we hit fish. I mean, you barely had lines out, and, you know, by 2:15, 2:30, we were into three or four fish already. Is that unusual? Isn't it better normally early and late?
No, all season long, it seems like. You know, middle of the day has been good with this colder water we have, you know, midday has been a good bite. I mean, early morning, late evening, you can never go wrong with them times. I mean, you always catch fish early and late in the day, but like you said, Dan, I mean, we set up lines at 2:30, and we had multiple hookups instantly for a TV show. So, you know, there's a lot of fish around, and there's plenty of cold water down deep yet, and them fish will stay active throughout the day.
Now, you were saying you're using planer boards and things like that on dipsies. What are you running behind them? Is it flash or fly combos? Are you running spoons?
We're running to catch the king, especially these four-year-olds like we did on Outdoor Wisconsin the other day. We're trying to get flasher flies down, you know, like I just mentioned, 50, 60 feet down to the bottom. Now, obviously a downrigger will get that deep, but what we're running to that really makes a difference are these copper setups. We're running copper line on our reels. You need a special reel for that, but it holds heavier copper line. And we're running 200 and 300-foot setups of copper, which get that bait down 80, 90, 100 feet off a planer board. So that setup's been good. Our Magnum divers, Dipsy divers have been good, and our wireline divers have been good. So these modified setups kind of get your baits down deeper than just running a downrigger. So, you know, the angler's got to definitely change their tactics a little bit to get down deeper in this water column.
And a couple of the guys actually had a real workout because in the rotation they were on the copper line. Fortunately for me, I think the two or three fish I hooked or was able to play were all on the downrigger, so I'm just downrigger. On mono, just me and the fish, which is the way I like it. But yeah, it's a job, but it gets them in.
I'll tell you what.
Exactly. And yeah, the downrigger is always the best setup. That's been my favorite because it's you and the fish straight up off the downrigger ball and a lot of fun to catch. But to get multiple baits down there and get more fish in the boat, I mean, you got to kind of look at these other setups to kind of widen your trolling pattern.
Mm-hmm. Well, coming up in a few weeks here in Sheboygan, we've got Meesfeld's Lakeshore Weekend where people can come on down to South Pier Drive, and there's a bunch of activities for kids and things. And I suppose if folks want to book a trip while they're in town enjoying that, how do folks get a hold of you?
Yeah, the best way always is a cell phone, 920-377-1147. I'm taking calls 24/7 here, and we're open 7 days a week. But if you want to send an email or check out our fishing reports board and photos of what we're catching, go to our website, www.dumperdan.com. We also have videos on there of a lot of the shows Dan and I did on Outdoor Wisconsin, and I'll have the show we just did now on here probably in a month or two as well, so people can view that on the video page as well.
Cool. Well, Dan, thanks so much for joining us. We'll talk to you in a couple weeks.
You bet. Thanks, guys.
Captain Dan Welsh, owner of Dumper Dan's six-boat charter fleet, dumperdan.com is where you can find him. And more about Lakeshore Weekend and Sheboygan Tourism at visitsheboygan.com. This has been the Sheboygan Area Lake Michigan Fishing Report. More Outdoors Radio coming up next.
Welcome back to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small. Jeff Kelm is here in the studio with me, and we are joined now by a guest we've been waiting to talk to, and a lot of other folks have been waiting to hear for a long time since we talked to him back in March, I think it was, and he's joining us now on the RedpawDogFood.com hotline, Dr. James Kroll, who is Wisconsin's deer trustee and he's got some news for us. Dr. Kroll, thanks for joining us.
Oh, you're welcome. I'm excited about the day has come when I can talk to you about the final report that we're issuing this week, or releasing this week. We submitted it to the Department of Administration on the 25th, 26th, somewhere around that, and they're releasing it this week, so that's great.
Well, they actually have had it that long. I expected it would be out a week or so ago and heard nothing, so they're pretty good at keeping a secret.
Yeah, I was amazed. Usually that doesn't work.
Yeah.
But I was amazed. And of course, one of the problems was the 4th of July showed up.
Sure.
And they told me this is so important to them, they didn't want to dilute it by having the 4th of July get in the way.
Okay, that makes sense. Well, before we dive into it, and it is over 130 pages long, and fortunately there is a 7-page executive summary, and Jeff and I have looked at that, and it's basically the meat of it. Before we dive into all that, let me just ask you a general question. Is Wisconsin's whitetail management program broken?
Yes.
Okay. Can it be fixed?
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Okay, well, I guess we're done then, right?
How's that for a short answer?
Yeah. So what is most broken about it?
The most broken thing is what we've said before, is the relationship between the department and the public and the public and the department.
Uh-huh.
There's some culpability on both sides, but the communication is broken down. As we say in the report, we certainly would never question the competence, the ability, the dedication, or any of that of the DNR and all of this. It's just one of those things that that happens periodically with government agencies, is you get locked into doing things certain ways, and then just communication starts to fail, and it's just unfortunate.
Mm-hmm. So it's more a communication thing than something they're actually doing wrong in the field?
Well, it's more. Number one is communication, but there are some things that need to be fixed in the field. And mainly and it goes back to communication again, is being in the field.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Is you've heard me say a bunch of times, boots on the ground.
Yep.
And that's where it all happens. Wildlife management, especially whitetail deer management, does not occur in front of a computer.
Mm-hmm.
It's on the ground working with the folks, helping people out, building those trust relationships.
Mm-hmm.
is one of the biggest issues.
Mm-hmm. Now this because you've you really got your finger on the pulse of deer and deer management throughout the United States, and here in Wisconsin we have heard that other states have looked up to us at least until the last couple of years. Is there a state or several states, actually, that do a better job of managing deer than Wisconsin has done in the last few years?
Well, if you look at the whole package, when you say managing deer, is involving the public, having high public support and success, there are states, Virginia, Mississippi.
Mm-hmm.
I'm reluctant to bring up Texas because that's such a horrible thing, Texas, but... there's several states that are doing a good job of deer management. Virginia is one of the things that we highlight, one of the states we highlight in the report, as a good example, as most comparable to a situation like we have here in Wisconsin.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Well, let's get into the report itself and some of your recommendations. And you break them down according to categories. And one, the first category, is population management. There's a lot here, but one of the things you say is do away with or limit the use of the sex, age, kill accounting style models. How come?
Well, they're not accurate.
Okay.
They're not accurate at the level that they've been used at. They're pretty reasonable at the state level, but these kind of models have been around since the 50s. They were developed for fish. There are states that still use similar models, but the ones that use them to estimate whether deer herds are increasing, stable, or decreasing.
Mm-hmm.
Much more general categories than there's 18,562 deer in this management unit.
Uh-huh. Yeah.
That's a recipe for disaster and frustration because the estimates because of, you know, things have changed since those models came out in the 50s.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the deer herds are different. The land's different. Hunters are very different. Since they're predicated on ratios of sex and age and kill, that they were originally based on random harvest,
mm-hmm.
and hunters don't randomly harvest anything anymore,
mm-hmm.
and it's very dependent on yearling buck harvest. So it's just not the appropriate thing. Instead, managers now are looking at things, you know, metrics that are based on site-specific conditions, like habitat health indicators, forest health indicators, the herd health indicators.
Mm-hmm.
The deer and the habitat are more than happy to tell you how they're doing if you're just out there listening and collecting the right data. And that's the key, is collecting the right data. And if you involve the public in collecting those data, then it's a win-win for everybody.
Mm-hmm.
It's one thing that you bring up in the report is talking about getting rid of this population estimate and this mindset that it's always got to be about a number, and that had a lot to do with communication and things like that. And it's, I guess, to me, I see that that's going to be a really hard thing to get away from here in the state of Wisconsin, because every year that's the conversation between deer hunters is, well, did you see, you know, what the DNR estimates the population at, and everybody's talking about population. It's going to be hard to get away from numbers, isn't it?
Yeah, there's not going to be anything to talk about at the bar now, is there? it's interesting. I was telling someone earlier, when we had a town hall meeting at Mount Horeb, it's not just the DNR that's gotten hung up on a number. It's the public. The people at the meeting, we were saying, we're seriously questioning SAK. They're going, well, who's going to tell us how many deer to kill?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
You know, and it's kind of an interesting mindset, but you know, working, you know, the whole thing focuses down to one of the sections that we've got there in the summary, and that's the DMAP program.
Mm-hmm.
And that's where that's where the biologist, the rubber meets the road, the biologist meets the public. And you come up with a mutual understanding of what your goals are and how you're going to measure success on those goals, and then going about working together to do it.
Mm-hmm. Well, let's jump into that then. That's in the second category, which is hunting regulations. And you say establish a DMAP program, which stands for Deer Management Assistance Program. What exactly is that?
A DMAP program is a program that operates through the local biologists with either landowners and or public land hunters.
Mm-hmm.
Where you put together a management plan and agreed upon goals, and you have a system where the folks out there, the landowners, the hunters, collect the data that we need to make good decisions, and then you use those data, which if you collect data yourself, it's kind of hard to criticize it now, isn't it? You use those data and analysis and the habitat analysis that the biologist does out there to assess, you know, how are we doing on reaching those goals. One of the beautiful things about DMAP programs, which there are many states that use them now, and the public popularity, I mean, the popularity is very high. One of the beauties of it is that when you first start out, there may be a divide between the biologists and the landowners or the hunters or whomever you're working with, but you know, you have some compromise there, and the main thing is to get them collecting data. Once you get folks collecting data, and they can do it in a very accurate way, you've got them, because what you do then is you analyze it and you give it back to them in a timely manner.
Mm-hmm.
And when your goal is we want some older bucks, and you give them back their report, or sit down with them, more importantly, and go over it, and you compare what their deer ages or what their buck ages are doing compared to the other cooperators that are in their area, and they're way off, they're the first question you're going to ask is, why is everybody else better than us?
Mm-hmm.
And now you got them.
Mm-hmm.
Because you say, well, you know, remember when we sat down and we said you need to take more does or you need to thin this timber or whatever we need to do? And you said you didn't agree. Well, maybe now we might want to talk about that. And my experience has been that just over time, I mean, it really produces an effective management program.
Uh-huh. Okay. Well, we're going to take a break here and come right back. We're talking with Dr. James Kroll, who is the Deer Trustee for Wisconsin, about his final report and recommendations that he and Dr. Dave Gwynn and Dr. Gary Ault released this past week, and we're taking a look at what some of those might be and how they might be implemented in the future. Back with more in just a bit.
Hey, buddy, know of any good places to fish around here?
Sure!
All right, let me have them.
Sure!
Are you going to tell me?
Sure!
A wise guy, huh?
I'm trying to tell you it's shore fishing time. The DNR has a list of 50 places you can fish from shore for trout, salmon, walleye, and bass, and they're all within 60 minutes of Milwaukee. Just go to the DNR website and search for fishing.
Hey, thanks, pal. Sure was nice talking to you.
This message brought to you by the Wisconsin Department of Natural Resources.
Be prepared this summer and partner with the best, Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Hot temperatures combined with the sun's UV rays can damage your roof. Cracks that form during dry weather may not be discovered until a heavy rain, and at that point it's already an emergency. Great Lakes Roofing's 24/7 emergency repair crews offer the help you need when a summer meltdown happens to your roof. Or contact them today to schedule a free roof consultation to prevent severe and costly damage. For more information, visit GreatLakesRoofing.net. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation, your roofing solutions experts.
Pantheon Homegrown Farms of Oconomowoc is in full operation. With their aquaponic system raising fish and vegetables, 10 acres in vegetable production, free-range chickens, goats, a nature trail, and more, as featured on Outdoor Wisconsin. For tour information, call 262-569-5531. To learn more about Pantheon and their many services for the developmentally disabled, visit pantheonindustries.org. That's 262-569-5531 or pantheonindustries.org.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249 or visit milfordhills.com.
When you visit Sheboygan, stay right on Lake Michigan at the newly remodeled Blue Harbor Resort and Spa. From Blue Harbor, you can stroll the Riverwalk to charter boats, the lighthouse, or riverside shops. Blue Harbor's three restaurants offer dining options from casual snacks to elegant dinners, and the whole family will enjoy Breaker Bay Water Park. Blue Harbor is perfect for family vacations or a guys fishing weekend. Visit blueharborresort.com or call toll-free 866-701-BLUE. Blue Harbor Resort, the place to stay in Sheboygan.
You're listening to Outdoors Radio. I'm Dan Small here with Jeff Kelman. We're talking with Dr. James Kroll about the final report and recommendations that he and his committee that reviewed management of deer in Wisconsin just released this past week. And we're talking, Dr. Kroll, about the DMAP program, the Deer Management Assistant Program, and gathering data that hunters will be providing. It sounds like almost a micromanagement plan where you're doing specific management on one piece of property that's different from another piece of property.
Yeah, I prefer to use a site-specific term instead of micromanaging.
Okay.
To me, micromanaging is a kind of a negative term, but site-specific, yeah, and that's where the way deer management is.
Hmm.
Deer management is site-specific. Every property, every group of properties is unique.
Mm-hmm.
Now, I want to backtrack just for a second, Dan. You were talking about a committee,
And
that's one thing that some people, I think, are still confused. Dr. Kroll, you're just not just some guy who came in from Texas and decided you're going to implement things. I just want to backtrack and let everybody know that this was a committee of biologists that Dr. Kroll, appointed, and also hunters from the state of Wisconsin were involved.
Right.
People from the state of Wisconsin, of course, our DNR, also Conservation Congress members, were all a part of this group of people that you gathered multiple times to make sure that things were kind of going along as smooth as possible. I don't want to make it seem like it was just
right. It's not just your idea.
Yeah, it's not just Dr. Kroll coming in.
Although you
yeah,
have,
I'm not a czar.
We didn't use that word.
I'm just in charge of a committee, and that's a very good point, Jeff. We had so many people, literally thousands of comments, emails, phone calls. The people of Wisconsin are awesome. You know, they I always say that there's a depth and breadth of wisdom and thought out there. I laughingly say, I think it's because of your winters and you have so many bars. but y'all get to talk to each other a lot.
Yeah.
But in all seriousness, yeah, and the guys at the DNR provided us everything that we asked for, you know, which was great of them. I mean, logically, they should have been angry and sensitive and everything else, but they may have been so, but they didn't, you know, give it away to us.
Mm-hmm.
They were very helpful, and you know, as I've said many times, I the three of us would be the last people to question the competence or the dedication or the hard work of the DNR. That's a given. Those guys were great. They just went down some wrong roads,
mm-hmm.
and that's just what happened, and so now it's time to fix it. You know, one of the things I've been saying is that this report is, it's not that we're three geniuses or hotshots or something. We're just three guys that have over 100 years of scars. You know, and we have a lot of experience, and we know what works and doesn't work.
Yeah.
And we have put our heart and souls in this report. We are very proud of it.
Mm-hmm.
And this is a get-out-of-jail-free card. It mm-hmm. can only be used once,
mm-hmm.
because if things don't change, here's what's going to happen in Wisconsin. I promise you, this is what's going to happen. First of all, your hunter numbers are going to continue to go down.
Mm-hmm.
The situation between the public and DNR is going to deteriorate even worse. Your legislature is going to get involved in deer management, and they're going to start passing bills and laws that take it apart. Like when Gary left Pennsylvania, he left a deer herd that was being well managed, and since then the legislature there have been political solutions, things, and we don't want that.
No.
And I've talked to the Wisconsin legislature. They don't want to get
mm-hmm.
involved in that.
Mm-hmm.
So this is our one-chance opportunity, but it's going to require a lot of people willing to come to the table and do their part,
mm-hmm.
from hunters to the DNR.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and hunters are culpable, too. You know, there have been times and places where hunters have unreal expectations.
Yep.
And there are times and places where the DNR has lost their cool and their temper because they've been criticized so much, and closed the door as well. So
mm-hmm.
it's time for everybody to cool it and start working on this thing.
Mm-hmm. Now, one of the areas that you mentioned, you talk about people coming together, and you mentioned the Conservation Congress, which
mm-hmm.
is unique in Wisconsin, as a lot
yep.
of our listeners know. You'd like to see a more active role in deer management decision-making at the local level.
See them involved more in
mm-hmm.
it. The Deer Management Assistance Program, there's a role for them in
uh-huh.
it.
Okay.
There's a role for the tribes in it as well, and
mm-hmm.
we never want to forget that, is that the tribes have their rights.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a co-management situation,
mm-hmm.
so they need to be at the table as well, especially not only in deer harvest and deer management, but in research. There are a lot of issues, research, especially in forest health, that they would like to have some input in. Research is going to be a key for the future here,
mm-hmm.
A lot different kind of research than has been going on in the past.
Okay. Jumping back into another topic, CWD, you say consider a more passive approach to CWD. What are you talking about there?
We say consider a more passive approach to CWD in the CWD zone.
Mm-hmm.
Here's what the facts are behind that. First of all, the eradication effort was not successful.
Right.
The deer herd didn't decline, it grew. The age structure of the deer herd is older than it should be after all that effort, and more importantly, the harvest is not any more or less than it was
mm-hmm.
than before this all started.
Mm-hmm.
So, not a whole lot has been accomplished on that. In 2003, the DNR has undergone a lot of reviews over the years. But in 2003, they had a group come in and review their CWD response plan. And the review committee was some colleagues of mine, and they're very smart people. And they said this. They said, "You're breaking new ground here. No one's ever done this. We really don't think it's going to work, but we laud your efforts and good luck.
Mm-hmm.
But if down the road you look at it and it's not working, you need to go from active management to passive management."
Mm-hmm.
And that's been our point. They need to go to passive management, which is this: monitor what's going on out there, but put your efforts and your resources into monitoring breakouts and quickly responding to them.
Uh-huh.
You know, the Shell Lake deer,
yep,
is a good example,
yep,
of that. You know, is get on it quick. There's some non-lethal options, especially if you got a DMAP program and you got people out there on the land that are that trust you and are your eyes and ears. Get them out there looking for sick and dead deer.
Mm-hmm.
Determine how extensive the problem really is or isn't, and then have a response team that can act quickly and decisively.
Mm-hmm. Okay. One final, we've got to wrap this up here, one final question about habitat. You have a lot of recommendations about habitat. What do you think is the top recommendation there?
The top recommendation is to get foresters, wildlife biologists, landowners, and agriculturalists all together and putting together these management plans to look at deer habitat as productive systems and put together a plan to keep them productive. The habitat of Wisconsin, especially the forests, are aging, and mm-hmm, you've got an absence or a dearth of young forests, which is what produces deer,
mm-hmm,
and other game as well.
Mm-hmm.
And so habitat is everything. It's the key. And managing habitat is very, very important in this.
Mm-hmm. Well, we've got to end this here. We could talk for another hour or more, as I'm sure you'll have a chance to do with other folks who have a longer program. But will this report be on your website? I know it's going to be released statewide.
Yes.
Will it be there?
Yes, it'll be on the Dr. Deer website. Mm-hmm. It'll be on the Department of Administration website.
Okay.
And I've got a video that I shot last week that will be on the website this week that's kind of introducing it, but yes, it will be there.
Okay. Well, great. We will link to your website, which is drdeer.com, drdeer.com.
Yep.
And thank you so much for coming back to Wisconsin, delivering this report, and taking time to talk with us about it. And we'll just wait to see what happens now and see how the state decides to implement it.
Well, we need your help.
All right. Thank you so much.
Yes, sir.
More Outdoors Radio, straight ahead.
When you visit Sheboygan, stay right on Lake Michigan at the newly remodeled Blue Harbor Resort and Spa. From Blue Harbor, you can stroll the Riverwalk to charter boats, the lighthouse, or riverside shops. Blue Harbor's three restaurants offer dining options from casual snacks to elegant dinners, and the whole family will enjoy Breaker Bay Water Park. Blue Harbor is perfect for family vacations or a guys fishing weekend. Visit BlueHarborResort.com or call toll-free 866-701-BLUE. Blue Harbor Resort, the place to stay in Sheboygan.
Hey boaters, this is Al from Cedar Lake Sales. Summer's just starting, so now's the time for you to enjoy a new Crestliner boat. We've got new Crestliner Fishhawks and Superhawks in stock. Couple those with a new Mercury outboard, and you're set to have some serious fun now. We've got great inventory of Crestliner fishing boats. The one you're looking for, all powered by a quiet, powerful Mercury outboard. The fish will be begging to jump in. Ha ha! For the best values on the water, visit Cedar Lake Sales, Highway 33 in West Bend, or fish the net at CedarLakeSales.com.
Enjoy upland bird hunting at its finest, plus year-round sporting clays and shooting instruction at Milford Hills Hunt Club. Milford Hills has a full-time gunsmith, a well-stocked pro shop, and a stunning lodge and banquet facility eager to cater your client or corporate outing. And their Friday night fish fry is second to none. Located north of I-94 near Johnson Creek, Milford Hills Hunt Club is Wisconsin's only five-star shooting facility. Call 920-699-2249. Or visit MilfordHills.com.
Pantheon Homegrown Farms of Oconomowoc is in full operation, With their aquaponic system raising fish and vegetables, 10 acres in vegetable production, free-range chickens, goats, a nature trail, and more, as featured on Outdoor Wisconsin. For tour information, call 262-569-5531. To learn more about Pantheon and their many services for the developmentally disabled, visit pantheonindustries.org. That's 262-569-5531 or pantheonindustries.org.
Be prepared this summer and partner with the best, Great Lakes Roofing Corporation. Hot temperatures combined with the sun's UV rays can damage your roof. Cracks that form during dry weather may not be discovered until a heavy rain, and at that point it's already an emergency. Great Lakes Roofing's 24/7 emergency repair crews offer the help you need when a summer meltdown happens to your roof. Or contact them today to schedule a free roof consultation to prevent severe and costly damage. For more information, visit GreatLakesRoofing.net. Great Lakes Roofing Corporation, your roofing solutions experts.
Thanks for joining us this week on Outdoors Radio. We are brought to you by Cedar Lake Sales on Highway 33 West in West Bend, on the web at CedarLakeSales.com. We do have a giveaway this week. It's a DVD, Pat Reeve and Nicole Jones, Whitetail Driven Volume 3, featuring 21 whitetail hunts. Five bonus hunts on there as well. We'll tell you how to enter that here in just a few minutes.
And we have a poll every week on our Outdoors Radio electronic newsletter, which many of you subscribe to. And if you don't subscribe already, you can see it on my website, which is dansmalloutdoors.com. And you can subscribe there, or you can go to LakeLink, where a lot of folks listen to the show, and click on the newsletter there. Last week's question was about the proposed regulations for a wolf hunting and trapping season, which the board, the Natural Resources Board, is slated to vote on this coming week, including a quota of 201 wolves for the 2012-2013 season. You know, Jeff, I'm real curious to see how many permits get issued for that and how many wolves actually get taken.
Well, it's an interesting too, if you look at that, it's 201 wolves, and the tribes, Native American tribes in the state of Wisconsin,
quota.
They can actually have up to half that quota.
Right.
So if you are just a, I guess you'd call it the average Joe hunter or so, to get a chance at a tag, is going to be maybe a little tough. It depends. So.
Yeah. Well, and they haven't said how many they're going to issue yet.
Right.
But the application period will be the month of August.
Mm-hmm.
So, and it's a $10 fee to apply, and then if you're lucky enough to be drawn, it's $100
for the tag.
Yeah. So.
Yeah, I'm not intending to apply. So. More power to everybody else.
Yeah, I wonder how many guys will spend the $110 or spend the $10 gamble for the privilege of spending another $100. And that money, by the way, is supposed to fund the wolf depredation program.
Yep.
So if there aren't enough applicants and enough people buying licenses, then that money gets the money that is there gets prorated.
Yep.
Won't be fully funded. So
yeah.
If you're interested in hunting wolves, we don't know what next year's season will be like. This may be your best opportunity. It'll certainly be your first opportunity in our lifetime anyway to hunt wolves in Wisconsin. Well, Outdoor Wisconsin, my TV show. Next week I'll be fishing for walleyes at night on Sturgeon Bay with guide Steve Milliot. And I'll tell you, if you've never done that, what a gas that is. If you hit it the right time of year, the big fish come up and they hit these stick baits that you're trolling. We did very well and had a lot of fun. And Judy Nugent is looking at kayak fishing equipment with Bill Schultz. This is part one of a two-part series. And our archival segment, Nancy Frank looks at features of Pike Lake State Park.
So, camel racing. Are you excited about that?
I am looking forward to it with a little bit of trepidation. I have not gone online to. All I've seen seen the photos. You actually seen video?
Yeah,
I've
got a video of it. Yeah. I mean, there's because you can watch some of the racing from across the seas in the Middle Eastern countries. They
right.
actually do this as for sport, this
sure.
is a real competition.
Do they play polo on camels, I wonder?
Maybe. What's interesting is they a lot of children race. You don't put as much weight on the camel,
sure.
and the camels will run faster. Sure. And they started using actual, like monkeys and things like that
okay.
as well. I mean, the camels know where they got to go. They're like a horse. They're fairly self-aware.
Mm-hmm.
You just
mm-hmm.
make them go.
Yeah.
So it's interesting. But there are places here in the United States that do it, and there's enough...
things online to watch.
Well,
that
I'm going
to
do
you
that.
Get an idea, and, yeah. And it's just I really want to talk to Jason here. I want to find out how this is actually going to work here.
Yeah, yeah. Well, Jason, we are coming, if you haven't heard by now. And folks, join us there at the Richland County Fairgrounds on the 21st, next Saturday, 4 to 6, for the camel races.
Yeah. Cheer us on.
Yeah, you. I've got. I'm a little lighter than you, so maybe I'll have an advantage.
Maybe
that'll balance the age difference. Advantage. I don't know.
Maybe.
So, anyway,
I've raced a lot of things in my life, but that is not one thing I have.
Well, it'll be a first for both of us.
Well, if you want to check out our calendar of events, it's online all the time at dancesmalloutdoors.com. You can listen to us 24/7 at lake-link.com/DSO radio, among other websites. All you need to do is search us online, dancesmalloutdoors.com. It's where you can go for more information.
And this week's giveaway, a DVD called Whitetail Driven, Volume 3, with Pat Reeve and Nicole Jones. To enter the drawing, give us a call at 414-297-7554 or email us at outdoorsradio@gms.com. Name and number, I'll mention the Whitetail Driven giveaway. Outdoors Radio is brought to you by LakeLink, your online fishing resource, on the web at lake-link.com. Come out to Richland Center next Saturday and watch Jeff and me run around, watch the camels run around, and watch us not fall off. I hope these have got to be gentle camels because they're kids' races, or kids' rides before the
animals.
Join us for that and for Outdoors Radio again next week. I'll be